From Alaska Public Media, this is State of Art. Welcome to State of Art, your weekly dose of Anchorage arts and culture. I'm Ammon Swenson. Coming up, we'll hear all about Anchorage Opera's current production of La Traviata. The Verdi opera tells the doomed love story of Violetta and Alfredo with music that should be recognizable to most people regardless of their exposure to the genre. The show will be in the Discovery Theater at the Alaska Center for the Performing Arts. It airs Friday, April 26th, and runs through Sunday the 28th. Friday and Saturday's performances are at 8 p.m., and Sunday is at 4 p.m. We're joined by Anchorage Opera's principal conductor, Brian Damaris, and stage director, Laura Alley. Alley says that while La Traviata is a love story for the ages, the ending is no surprise.
Should I give away the end? Well, it's opera. They always die in the end. Someone dies in the end.
All fun and games, right?
Fun and
typical
and
operas,
games,
don't.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, this opera itself, as far as I understand, it continues to be one of the most popular operas that are out there. I mean, what do we think makes this specific opera stand the test of time? Do we think it's that kind of complex story of love, loss, or the music, or maybe the combination of the two?
Well, it's a great love story, and it's Giuseppe Verdi, so it's hard to go wrong. The music is absolutely lush and glorious.
Yeah, and Brian, what would you say maybe sticks out to you about the music itself from this opera?
You know, if you've never heard opera before, or you think you've never heard opera before, and you came to see this show, you would immediately recognize some of the most famous melodies that come from this. The whole first act is a party. Literally. And the music is party music, and it's still used as party music, even out of context. The toast, the drinking song, and you feel that energy, and it's just a great kind of 30 minutes of high energy. I call it almost like a techno beat in a dance club, like late at night. They're partying at 1 a.m. till sun up, and then they go off to another house when the sun comes up. And you get that energy, and it keeps you there, and that's how you meet all the characters and see their vivaciousness for life. Everybody gets a tune. Everybody has a song.
Yeah, well, let's maybe talk about the cast a little bit. So is there anything you'd like to maybe mention about some of the leads, or do we have some locals participating as well?
We do have some locals. The Violetta, I believe, is new to Anchorage. The Alfredo was here doing Rodolfo and Bohème. Mm. The Germont is new, but he's a powerhouse. They all are. Our Flora, Lisa Willis, is a local.
Pretty much all the shows that you do are kind of a combination of bringing someone in and then incorporating a local cast. What's that like to maybe give some of the local actors a chance to maybe interact or work with, you know, people who have maybe performed on a little bit larger of a stage, or, you know, vice versa?
That's one of my favorite things about Anchorage Opera, is how the talent in the community can be nurtured. Through these performances, there are so many great singers here in Anchorage in the chorus and soloists on stage who sing these smaller roles and sometimes the larger roles, depending on the pieces that we're doing.
And the fun thing is the audience members might come in and go, oh, that's my doctor. Oh, that's my lawyer.
Exactly.
Oh, that's
my... Who knew they could sing like that?
Who knew?
Does this particular opera have any, like, major hurdles that you have to get over for either production or performance? Like, you know, I feel like some operas I'll hear about, oh, this particular piece is the one that, like, really was messing me up because I had to work at it so hard because maybe it's such a physically demanding thing, or, yeah, anything that really kind of, I don't know, not took its toll, but maybe required a little extra attention.
Alfredo and Violetta, the characters, so expertly performed by Peter Scott Drackley and Andrea Baker in this production, they never stop singing with each other, at each other, alone, you name it. They have to start that party and they sing for 30 minutes straight. And then Violetta sings quite exquisitely by Andrea, one of the most famous and challenging operatic arias in all of the 19th century. And she ends the first act. You know, you think that the party would end the first act on high energy, but then she has to stay there for another 12 minutes and deliver this aria with all of the pyrotechnics. And Andrea does that so wonderfully. And then we have a little intermission and we come back and Peter, playing Alfredo, has to sing one of the most hard operas and starting the act two.
Brian, as the conductor and, you know, Laura, as the stage director, you know, what aspects of your roles have been maybe your favorite or kind of stick out to you when, you know, getting ready for the opening night?
One of the things that I'm enjoying about this particular production is that we are setting it in the Art Deco period in Paris in the 20s, which gives it a very festive kind of feel and fun with the costumes. The set has an Art Deco kind of flavor to it. It's still a very traditional production, but we have little zhuzh with the costumes and the set. I'm just hoping it's something that people will go, oh, well, that's fun and a little different.
A unique take on something they might be familiar with.
A little bit.
How about you, Brian? Anything that's stuck out with you?
There's a couple of things. One is that Verdi wrote this opera within a 3-year span where he wrote three of his most famous operas. And he was very busy. The crowds initially did not like the piece Traviata, but it had to do with the singers primarily. Mm-hmm. And Verdi found the rehearsal processes so messy in the 1850s that he didn't even go to some of the premieres. And then the opera kept getting produced all over London and Paris and you name it, and became, as it is today, one of the most performed operas. And it never stopped being one of the most performed operas. But Verdi left a lot of loose ends in it. You know, there's notes and things in the score that are a bit undecided or there's discrepancies. So there's a lot of sorting out of that to do in the homework for it. But in the performance aspect, it's sort of getting to know the voices that you're working with on stage and what they need for tempos and ornaments and their style, and then supporting them and then helping the orchestra understand the character of what is in the music that lies under the melodies of the singers, because they just kind of see boom, chuck, chuck and simple little notes. And then there's these exquisite melodies and all this drama over top of it and kind of crafting that into the elements of storytelling that we see on stage.
Yeah, that's an interesting aspect that I haven't always thought of, is that interplay between, you know, maybe you've got the soloist singing and you'd think it's all on them to evoke emotion and whatever feelings that they're having. But if the orchestra isn't necessarily doing its job, there's going to be a little bit of a disconnect between what you're trying to portray. That's very interesting. Do you find that maybe the singers and orchestra, do they, like, if they're practicing maybe independently, finding themselves getting on the same wavelength as you, you know, do these practices and kind of start reaching that, you know, unity of emotion, I guess, or something like that as you go?
Yeah, and I should add, too, that those colors and the dramatic colors in the orchestra are what Verdi was so profoundly good at. And we rehearse with piano, and everything's great, but then when the orchestra shows up, you discover all these other layers to the textures and the drama that aren't there just with the piano. And the rehearsal process is very much like that. And this is the exciting week where we've all come together to bring it together. How many people on stage? 50, 60 or more. It's really magical when that happens.
So due to the magic of radio, we're actually broadcasting this at exactly the same time as your opening night. So, you know, let's pretend we're currently in that scenario right now at the PAC. It's opening night. Maybe the show hasn't, the curtains haven't quite gone up yet. You know, what are you two doing at this moment? And, you know, maybe what kind of what's going on behind the scenes and what does it feel like?
I don't know about Brian, but I'm probably biting my fingernails. It's hard for me because once we have the final orchestra dress rehearsal, the show is no longer mine. We turn it over to Brian, who's conducting, and the stage manager, who is running. She's running the whole show. And it's all about, they're the ones who are making the magic happen. And I am an audience member. I go backstage and wish everyone well and toy, toy, toy. And yes, it's going to be great. You're going to be wonderful. And, you know, just be the cheerleader back there. And then I go sit in the audience and I go, oh, my gosh. Oh, I hope everything just runs smoothly. It's just no longer in my hands. Yeah. So it's and then I go home.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting concept for people to think about. You spent all this time kind of getting ready, trying to probably refine, and then it's push it out into the world and
push it out, give birth, and there it goes. It's on its own.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sounds like that puts a lot of the pressure on you then, Brian.
Yeah, I appreciate the question because it really is a very meaningful ritual for performers. That backstage pre-show ritual is kind of even more exciting than the bows and the applause and the accolades at the end of the night. I think that's why so many people keep performing. I'm using the last moments I can to deliver individual notes to people and check in with people about things that may have not gone perfectly at the dress rehearsal, checking in with the chorus and thanking them and wishing them the best of performances, checking in with the stage manager, and I'll find a couple quiet moments to FaceTime with my kids before the show, too.
That's nice.
Does that help kind of maybe ground yourself amidst the craziness, maybe?
Absolutely. Kids will always ground you.
Well, we have to remember this is opera. This is opera, and it's a wonderful, exciting art form. It's not real. You go home and the kids are still waiting for you to put them into their pajamas and read them bedtime stories, or, you know, you go home and all these things have to be done that weren't happening when you were in your absence. So
it sounds like it could be a good first opera for you people to go check out, as they might be familiar with the music. It sounds like it's, you know, fairly a typical opera fare, but also high energy and familiar, I guess.
Absolutely. It is maybe my top three of operas that I would suggest to someone who's going for the first time. Traviata being one, Bohème being another, Carmen, which we did last season, being maybe the third. But these, because they have so many things that are familiar, and they just have great stories. Great stories, great music, great performers. It's all happens here on the stage at the PAC.
Yeah. Anything else to add, Brian?
I just say what's so special, I think, about Anchorage Opera is the community in the theater, in the orchestra pit, on the stage with the chorus, you know, people that give so much of their time and lives to support the company with their talent, but then also the feeling of all of those people together in the Discovery Theater and all the audience coming to support them. And it's a small town, so I always feel the energy behind me and in front of me of these people that know each other and support each other in that way, and it always makes the performances at Anchorage Opera extra special.
Yeah. Amen.
That was Anchorage Opera's principal conductor, Brian Damaris, and stage director, Laura Alley. La Traviata opens Friday, April 26th, and runs through Sunday, April 28th, in the Discovery Theater. And that's all the time we have for you today. Find us on the web at alaskapublic.org, the Alaska Public Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Ammon Swenson. Thanks for listening.
State of Art is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed are those of the hosts and participants and do not reflect KSKA or its underwriters. Theme music is Spring Breakup by Termination Dust. Get in touch with the host by sending an email to soa@alaskapublic.org.